This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
6:02 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris in Florida, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, and Joe LaCroix holding down the fort right here at the 105.7 The Fan Studios in Baltimore. What's going on, gentlemen?
Not a lot. It's Friday.
It's Friday, baby.
Friday.
It is.
Fantastic. Feel good Friday.
I was almost going to finish up your alliteration saying something back to you, but I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Say it in my ear.
Oh, man. Hey, the Orioles, is that a win streak then?
Two in a row is winning two in a row. It's not a streak yet.
Oh.
It's just winning two in a row right now. But it's better than not
won
winning
a series.
We got rid of two narratives last night. We won a series and we won two consecutive games.
Yes. By the way, I don't know how much you guys are scrolling social media late at night and while the game's going on. I know you were at the game, Rob, and I'm sure you'll tell us how cool that experience was. But like last night, as soon as Tommy gave up the two runs, it's just Twitter shutting down again. This team sucks. Oh, my God. They got to go get pitching. It's like, Jesus Christ, man.
He looked great.
I was there with my daughter and my kids, my family. I was there with my family, and my daughter took her boyfriend, and he started to look worried. And I looked at him, and I said, you don't lose games on solo home runs. You don't. The only time you lose games on solo home runs is if you give up five or
it's late
and
it's
yeah, close. Exactly.
Walk off.
Yeah. And you can't respond.
But to your point, over a period of time, if you're giving up solo shots, and Palmer talked about this,
yeah,
dude, I've given up plenty of home runs. And then I think he listed everyone he gave up after
sure
that.
Did. Oh, sure he did.
But
the
like,
date, the wind, the temperature, the time of day he did it, it was 8:37. It was 78 degrees, and the wind was blowing northwest.
I didn't eat chicken wings that day because I didn't eat chicken wings on any day. In all seriousness, you look at the solo shots, and yeah, as long as you're not putting guys on, that's why I'm so pissed at Charlie Morton, and we were joking in the stands. It's like, oh, he walked somebody. Here comes the home run. Just give up the solo shot instead of the two-run shot. Why are we walking the guys at the bottom of the lineup? And look, I know it's easier said than done, and guys don't want to throw fastballs right down the middle, and sometimes they can't. But if it's a damn nine-hole hitter, I'm making his ass earn it. He ain't never getting walked.
Never. Ain't never getting walked. Yeah, but you talked about the experience they had the game yesterday. So, Robbie got a full season press pass. And media members who don't have a press pass. But I'll leave that there.
Yeah, you got squirted with a super soaker.
So, we get there, and they talked about the article that the banner wrote, Ed. So, Tessa Sayers says, so you're a switch hitter? So, you're pulling for Allie today? He said, no, Gunner. Gunner's going to hit a home run. Now, Gunner hadn't hit a home run all year. Hadn't hit a home run all year. Lead off batter, hits a home run. So I get a text instantly from Tessa. So he went up to the cafeteria, the media cafeteria. He had food. Later on, he wanted ice cream. I said, you do realize the cafeteria has ice cream before we stand in this line. He said, let's go upstairs. We went upstairs. He got ice cream. He just had a good time, man. And I want to tip my hat because I think baseball – and this is not comparing to other sports because other sports don't have the opportunity that baseball does. But it seems like they recognize as many causes as they can. And just because you have the opportunity doesn't mean you do it. And baseball just seems to – ALS, you know, different types of cancer, autism. It just seems like, just everything that they can recognize, they do it. And I think they do a good job of it. Last night we sat, you know, after we left our seats, we sat over there with Pathfinders for Autism and we had a good time. Sat there to see a couple of home runs. Mm-hmm. Just a good time over there, man. So hats off to Orioles and Major League Baseball for recognizing something that impacts a huge part of our community with autism.
Yeah, I thought it was wonderful. I think the Orioles organization is pretty cool, too.
They are. Very cool.
Major League Baseball, the O's in particular, I think they get it.
You know, with adopting a school, Harlem Park Elementary Middle School. I mean, come on, man. They changed the lives of those kids at that school. Outdoor classroom. I mean, that's just, that alone is an experience, man. I mean, so I just think they do a great job in giving back. And I know they got to spend money on players. Okay, that's a different argument. The time that they spend in their community, in my opinion, is just outstanding.
Well, one of the other things with that, too, is like seeing all the different kids around the ballpark that were just enjoying themselves and all the connections that, players, but people that work for the team, fans of the team, just coming out and enjoying the night. And
kids opening day Sunday was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, the kids opening day. You know, and it's just a ton of kids on the field, running bases after the game.
Yeah, but the problem is all the ones that get drunk over at Pickles beforehand.
The kids?
Yeah. I mean, they can't handle their liquor. You're 7 and you're ordering shots. I mean, come on.
Stupid
kids. No, but there's a lot of good things that the Orioles do involving the community. Like, even going back to the kids stuff and letting them get in for free in the upper decks and some of the other promotions and things they put on. And for years, that's the only thing you had to look forward to, right?
Yep.
And then now you got a team that's, well, we'll have to see this year, but again, a team that's been very good or pretty good over the past couple seasons, you feel like has some hope, unless, you know, you're one of the other fans out there that feels like the sky is falling every freaking day.
And it's easy for me to say it because they won yesterday, but I think they're going to be fine, man. I honestly think they're going to be fine.
They're going to
be. You see... You know, it's a long season. I think that at the end of the day, they're going to be fine.
You know what Orioles fans are like? Orioles fans are like my wife, wondering where the rent's coming from. Like, oh my God, we got rent due next month. I'm like, what? We already paid this month. We're good for a month. What are you talking? Like, worrying over that. And everybody sits there, it's like, oh my God, we're 4-6. The season's over. It's like, if this 10-game stretch happened in June, you're not sitting here bitching about it. And I'm not saying that there are not wholesale problems here with the starting pitching. But to say the season's over the first week or right after it, it's like, come on, guys.
Now, in the small, and we'll talk Orioles baseball up next, but in the small box, these two games, Ed, was probably back-to-back their best two starts by pitchers.
I would say that probably, definitely.
Yeah. Well, all three if you throw Charlie Morton in. Remember I told you he graded out as the third best pitcher. Son of a bitch. Oh,
yeah.
Well, in your defense, didn't Dean Kramer grade out pretty good on Wednesday, too?
It has more to do with the weather and this Guardians lineup, which isn't overpowering. I think it has more to do with that than anything else. And then, again, with the wind blowing in, it ended up swirling. We saw it was kind of crazy. Like, even with Stephen Kwan's home run. It was supposed to be tough to hit home runs that night. And then he caught one right down the line, hit a jet stream, and just went, phew, gone.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show.
Like, I didn't think Gunners was getting out last night. And I'm like, oh, there it goes. There it goes. Yeah.
I don't know if that hitters are happy that brought that wall in a little bit. I'm going to start aiming for it, they're probably thinking.
Well, we're waiting for – well, look, with all due respect, they might have to put a tee out in front of Jordan Westbrook right now. It's over 24,
my gosh, man. Oh, my God. Yeah, I am agonizing right now.
Because he's too good for this. But, again, guys go through this all season long. We don't notice it in the middle of the year, but it happens.
Yeah, you do. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Who was the player that you love in this year's draft? Who was the player that you love not so much? We'll do that at 7:00. But on the other side, Birds finally win a series. Finally win two in a row. Orioles baseball up next on the Fan.
First pitch swinging. High drive to center. Ryan likes the look of it. Thomas will watch it go. Ryan O'Hearn for the second straight night. He stopped at second to be sure, but he is being waved around the bases. A first pitch, 3-run, a home run, and the Orioles are back on top.
And that was right after the pickoff at third base of Ramon Urias. First of all, Tomo Sugano, went 7 innings, giving up 2 earned runs on just 5 hits, 3 strikeouts, no walks. He gave up 2 home runs, both solo. Now, I didn't know whether or not he was going to come out in the seventh inning because he had, I think he finished the sixth inning with 70 pitches. Am I right? Like 74 pitches, I think he finished the sixth inning.
It was lower than what I expected.
It was 62?
I thought it was 72.
Because he didn't
throw low.
He didn't throw a lot of pitches in the seventh. I thought he hit like 70, up to like 70.
He may have, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was up to like 70 after six innings. And then he came out in the seventh inning, and he finished with fewer than 90 pitches.
Yeah.
That is what we heard, Ed, about Tomo when he came over here.
Well, now, have your view – I saw Jacob Calvin Meyer pointed out that – I mean, I'm sure it's tongue-in-cheek about Corbin Burns having a 5-run ERA, and maybe they did get an ace in the offseason with Tommy. I understand that's tongue-in-cheek.
It's tongue-in-cheek.
JCM. But no, looking at, have you changed on him at all? What are your thoughts on, I mean, we've seen him a couple times. He's a pitcher's pitcher. He's not going to overwhelm you, and I think he's going to have a lot of games like this where he's going six and throwing 80 pitches.
Well, we recall, I didn't have
87.
No, I said through six he had, I thought yeah. he had.
He threw 87 total.
Yeah, total, yeah.
87 throughout the game, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I didn't have an opinion about him at the very beginning, and I still don't because I don't think he's thrown enough games. I can't go on what he did in another country. I'm glad if you're going to get a guy from Japan, get one of the best. I'm glad about that. You're not getting a project from there. But at the same time, what I see so far, I like. I think the first game against Toronto, he was extremely nervous. He was sweating bullets. He looked like he ran a half marathon before the game started.
I think my man Asan said it best.
What is it?
Japan's in the house! That's Old Dirty Bastard for some other people. But yeah, look, he looks fine. And that's the big concern. I call them imports all the time. You just don't know because of the level of competition they're facing. And it's one of the reasons when you talk about like the KBO, we have players here that can't pitch to save their life, have a 5-6 run ERA, just absolute gas cans that go over there and light those kids
Tommy
up.
Hunter.
Tommy Hunter, you could go, if you want to go with all the old Oriole pitchers, remember Aaron Brooks?
Yep.
Remember Mike Wright?
Yep. Mike Wright went over there and had a career.
Because he's throwing 99 miles an hour, and those guys are used to all the breaking pitches until they're able to catch up to it. So the competition level's different. My concern with Sugano was that, you know, he throws every 6 days. So what's it going to be like? Are we going to get to a point in July where we're like, man, he's taxed?
Yeah. And I like Mike Wright, man. I was so upset that he couldn't make it over here. I thought he had good stuff. He just had it was straight too often.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jeremy said, that works over there, not over here.
Well, I tell you what, though. What works anywhere is control.
Yeah.
This guy's got elite control, though. You know, he's throwing 70-mile-an-hour changeups and, 80-something-mile-an-hour fastballs. But he hits exactly where he wants to hit. Doesn't walk anybody. It's amazing. And I think it's a real lesson. Like, we're so used to the radar gun now. You watch this guy pitch. He was getting, people were swinging and missing on him last night. Not a ton. He didn't get a lot of strikeouts, obviously. But that control and his stuff, it's really something to watch as opposed to here where we're so obsessed with, approaching triple digits on that gun.
You guys both played baseball before. I don't care what level you played it on. When you have a guy that throws slow, then all of a sudden they throw something straight that normally you would hit a country mile. Well, you're geared. He's been throwing you so many wrinkles that he slows your bat down.
It's like the reverse of the changeup.
Exactly. Yeah. So now the fastball is like, man, this is a dumb fastball. It's not even a real fastball, but it worked because he rocked you to sleep, essentially.
The other thing that happens and why I think you're going to see a lot of lower pitch counts from him or going deeper into games like you did last night is he gets a ton of soft contact.
Yeah.
So even when you walk a guy, give up a base hit, whatever it may be, you have chances for double plays. He's been really good and really efficient. And I don't know if you guys saw... Oh, God, who was it talking about him and how much they liked? Oh, the pitching ninja guy was saying he's just really smart in his approach to how he's pitching. And it's just something we're going to notice more and more that we get to watch him. But he looks pretty good. He's just not overpowering. So I think at any given moment, he could have a really ugly day.
Speaking of looking really good, what is going on with Ryan O'Hearn right now? Yeah. He was 2-for-3 yesterday with a home run, three driven in. On the season, he's batting .326. With a .587 slugging. His OPS is, 991 right now.
Did you hear his quote last night to Andy Well, I mean, I guess he said it to everybody, but Koska retweeted it. O'Hearn said, as far as my baseball career goes, this is without a doubt the best thing that's ever happened to me. You guys know this. I was thinking about Japan. I was thinking about what am I going to do next. I don't take it for granted. I love showing up for work every day. He loves Baltimore, man. And again, getting this opportunity he's had here and seeing it take off, they're putting him in the best possible situation to succeed, except when they put him in the outfield. But he's done a phenomenal. Well, you know, it's not his forte. You know, like I hit. Yeah, like Billy Ripken. I brought this up. I was talking about, why are you putting Altuve in the outfield? Why are you taking O'Neill Cruz? Put him in. Let him play his position.
Back in the late 90s, you know what Harold Baines' walk-up music was?
What?
I'm not a player. I just crush a lot. That's Ryan O'Hearn. that's Ryan O'Hearn, man. I mean, he just goes out there and mashes. By the way, now, Jeremy, you always acknowledge the fact that the Cleveland Guardians' pitching is so good.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I agree with you. The numbers don't lie.
It's always sneaky good, too, because you're like, where'd that guy come from?
However, Gunnar Henderson didn't read that memo.
No.
His career against Cleveland, Ed, his batting average, 356. His OPS, 1.078. That's his career against the Cleveland Guardians.
Is that good? High score. High score, what's that mean? Is that good?
Oh. He didn't read the memo about the pitches not being that good, man. And yesterday, he led off the game. I'm not lead off the game. His first at bat. He had a solo home run, put the Orioles up 1-0. I'm all right with that.
Yeah, I like in watching Gunnar, he's one of those guys that I feel weird when I say it, that he could be the first billion-dollar player. But we have to get out of our heads with that, because the way things have gone in baseball with the next superstar coming up and how ridiculous the contracts have gotten, it's not an absurd thing to say.
No, it's not.
It really isn't in this day and age. Now, if baseball can somehow get some sort of cap/floor, which they're going to try to push for, and they're not going to get, so maybe I'm just talking in circles, then that could obviously be a help to keeping those numbers down. But there's a handful of teams that are driving the price up on everyone.
Heston Kjerstad, Silent J, is a big boy, big strong boy. One that, you know, he's a left-handed hitter, so if you do platoon him, which means he should play a lot because they're more righties than lefties, that ball he hit yesterday, oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
This is the guy we've been waiting to see. He was long delayed, but here now, and I tell you, I love seeing him play. I'd love to see him play every day. Because once you get into, you know, as you get into a rhythm, man, he is strong, though.
He put the game away.
He did. Yeah.
What do you guys think of Batista's whip? Is it two? But it really hasn't come back to haunt him? I don't know if you guys have looked at it.
Yeah.
Two runners on last night again, two strikeouts.
Yeah. I like the way Hyde puts him in non-save situations. Work on the stuff. Work on the stuff. He'll be fine. The last two at-bats look more like Batista. That I think he finished the game with a slider. Am I right? That was a wrinkle on it.
I think you're right.
It was a wrinkle to it. It started off on the batter's hands and finished up just inside the plate on tight on the batter. So it had a lot of movement on it.
Well,
it'll be fine.
Again, looking at the starting pitching coming up, this weekend's very interesting. You're facing a Cincinnati team with a ton of speed. They have pop. By the way, Austin Hayes hit a home run yesterday. Don't forget, he's on the Reds, so he's coming back to Baltimore today.
I want to see him get the same love that Santander
got. He should.
I want to see him get – he's a former All-Star, too. I want to see him get the same love that Santander
got. I know it sounds silly, but there is a special place in my heart for the guys that went through those crappy
Me too.
Seasons.
Me too, man.
If you're a competitor going through that and it's 162 games of just, hey, man, we're going to get our ass whooped again tonight. Come on, let's go do something.
Let me go do my job.
Yeah.
We give out shovels at 7:15, but on the other side, Grayson Rodriguez dealing with shoulder soreness unrelated to his previous injury. Oh, boy. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Grayson was supposed to throw a side this afternoon. We scratched the side a day or two ago. He went and got imaging this morning. He woke up a few days ago with a little bit of soreness in his shoulder area. So we're getting imaging this morning. The results have not come back on that yet. I'm sure he's frustrated. I haven't really talked to him about it. I'll talk to him about it once the imaging comes in.
That's from yesterday, pregame press conference with manager Brandon Hyde. Grayson Rodriguez in his career has started 43 games. All those games he never came out of the bullpen. 43 games, 43 starts. He's 20-8, 4.11 earned run average, 238 and two-thirds innings. He has 259 strikeouts, more strikeouts than innings pitched. Fewer hits than innings pitched as well. His ERA plus is 95. He is a very good pitcher. The problem is, Ed, he's not available. No. Too often not available.
No, he'll say the best ability is availability. He's never available, or rarely. It's a problem, and it's a real concern. Because there's got to be, I don't know what the calculus is, but it's got to be a point where you start making business decisions about, like, you know, he's not available. I mean, this is not like you can do that job, you know, if you're hurting, if you can't, you just can't do it. And I don't know what they're going to do, because this is just more bad news with the pitching staff. Feel bad for him, though. We've been waiting. How long have we been talking about, you know, his impact on the team when he finally got here, and we can't wait to see him, can't wait to see him, can't wait to see him. Now you still can't wait to see him.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I started thinking about this actually on the drive in today of, like, different young pitchers that had very high ceilings that it just never amounted to anything, either because of an injury or whatever. Guys lose it. And, I was thinking about Andrew Abbott is a big prospect for the Reds, and he's in their rotations, been a little banged up lefty who they really liked and had that high ceiling. He may still end up being a really good pitcher. I don't know. But then you start looking at some of the other guys. I mean, there have been plenty of guys in this league that we've talked about year one going, oh, my God, they got something special. And you're like, what happened to that starter? Remember, like, Robbie Ray's back now. But Robbie Ray disappeared and found life with Toronto again because he is a good pitcher. He just lost it for a bit.
You know, I talk about the career 4.11 earned run average, Jeremy. Last year, 20 starts, it was 3.86. And his FIP was 3.66. His strikeouts per innings, was 10. So his numbers last year were even better. His earned run average 4.35 his rookie year. So he got better last year. You look at the potential that this guy has, he is I believe, a number two starter. I don't know if he's a number one. I think he's a number two starter in a lot of good rotations.
I told you.
But you'll never know because hopefully, well, I can't say never know. We don't know right now because it's all speculation.
I told you, I think he's Dylan Cease. And if he turns into that, Cease... People would have called him an ace the past couple years with how he's pitched.
Who, Cease?
Yeah. I think Grayson has that same ceiling. The only thing that's going to hold him back is injuries if this keeps up. And you pointed out, too, like, maybe we're just in this whole spin cycle with him where it's like, oh, man, he got hurt this year. He got hurt last year. He got hurt. And then it's something like you talked about with Manny Machado where, hey, we talked about that knee injury and what was going on with his foot and everything that's happening and – he plays more games than almost anyone in this league now.
Yeah.
But with pitchers, it's even scarier because you know we've seen this. Some guys come back stronger from Tommy John. Some guys just end up flaming out. There was the pitcher for the Mets? I'm trying to remember the relief pitcher that threw out his arm, and you could see it on his face. It happened this week, either 2 nights ago or 3 nights ago, whatever. Relief pitcher, he got hurt and he knew his career was over because he's an older pitcher. He's like 38, 39 or something. And he's just, what's his name? Hispanic pitcher. And he just fell to his knees. And
you know, Frankie Montes?
No. It was a reliever.
Oh, reliever.
And Frankie Montes is young.
He's only on the IL.
Let me see.
Reliever. Yeah, he got hurt like in March, though. I don't remember. I don't know who Jeremy's talking about.
Here, I'll find out who it is. I'll just look it up. I'm one of those guys that doesn't like to look it up. I want to figure it out myself, but then sometimes you realize you're doing radio.
We ain't got time for that.
Exactly.
Sean Manaea is out, but he's a starter. He's not that guy. I'm trying to think who's out. Who are you talking about?
It's a relief pitcher.
I know. I can't.
Here we go. I'll find out who it is. Anyway, but like you see the look on their face and how, I mean, this cat. It was just inconsolable. Or like the pitching coach comes out, the players are coming. Huh?
Gomez?
What's his first name?
Ramon?
Let me look him up.
Yeah, those are I'm looking at all the Mets injuries.
I think you might be right.
And Paul,
it may not be Mets. Like
Paul Blackburn is not Hispanic.
Said Mets. That's why we're confused. Yeah, we're looking up.
I said I think it's the Mets, but I don't remember.
Is Paul Blackburn Hispanic? I don't.
Yeah. El Blackburn.
I don't know. Is he Hispanic? Because he got hurt too. See how Jeremy derails the show? Let's go out to the phone lines. Chris, bring it back on track. Chris in Parkville, what it do?
Gentlemen, happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you too.
Just wanted to comment on the Orioles. A lot of people have been picking them apart in this infancy of a season. The last two games will show. It looks like they're starting to get traction. And the coaches are doing, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. And I just want to throw a positive word out there and support my Orioles. And you guys have a great weekend.
You have a great weekend as well, my friend. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. We give out shovels at 7:15. But on the other side, John Heyman puts the O's front office at number 5 in his MLB rankings. But the fan base's view of Elias and company is at an all-time low. What would it take to earn them back? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. John Heyman puts the Orioles front office at number 5 in his MLB rankings. But I bet if you poll, Jeremy, the Oriole fan base, you'd have a lot of people who don't think the Orioles are in the top 5.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm okay with you thinking they're not in the top 5. I'm not okay with the people who are like, fire Elias, he's the problem, because I think you guys are stupid. Just dumb. I mean, you look at the talent that this team has drafted and what they've done, and we've been saying it. In football and baseball, we have two of the best front offices in all of sports, man. And it doesn't surprise me to see John Heyman have him in his top 5. I did. The fact that they're doing this and they were struggling and he still had him in the top 5,
yeah,
I think says a lot more, because there are some other guys that took the opportunity just to, hey, look at these 5 good teams and they have great front offices because they're good right now. And it's easy to go, hey, the Dodgers have a great front office. No, they have an unlimited checkbook.
Well, he has the Dodgers number 1, the Braves number 2, the D-backs number 3. And I think the D-backs do a great job. The Mets number 4, and then the Orioles number 5. Orioles are only technically smaller market team in the top 5.
Yeah. I mean,
I guess so. Yeah.
I mean, you start looking at some of the teams that are listed up there, and it's most of the teams that are out just that are going to spend $300 million on payroll. I mean, we joked about it. The Mets spent $1 billion in the offseason. And I think fans look at it and they go, oh, that's what we should be doing. No, it's not the right business model, and even the Mets know that. But he's got unlimited funds, and he wants to win, so hats off to him. You know,
Dan O'Dowd has the Dodgers, the Guardians, the D-backs, the Braves, and the Yankees.
See, I like that he put the Guardians in there because, again, it's another team that drafts and develops well, and they're under that kind of, hey, we're not going to be out there spending this type of money. The fact that they offered Jose Ramirez an extension, the guy accepted it, I think they were lucky. But they're not going to be – they're one of those teams – like, I think they're going to be what – everybody thinks the Orioles are going to be. You get what I'm like? They'll sign one or two guys here or there, but they're not going. They're going to move guys out. Like, they had no reason to move Jimenez to the Blue Jays. He's one of the best second basemen in all of baseball. But they did.
410-583-1057 is the number. Do you agree with his list, Ed?
Absolutely. I mean, look at the teams there. We'll start with the Orioles. I think I've always thought and always said they think this team has got a great front office. They have a lot of faith in Elias. And they built a really good roster. They built an incredible farm system. They, you know, did every. I just like people to keep their promises. When he took the job, he said he was going to, we have the best farm system in baseball, have an international presence, have an academy in the Dominican Republic. All these things have happened. And the team wins. I mean, you know, I'm not going to make an excuse of his struggling with, you know, 16 games in the beginning of the year. They win. They've won for the last 2 seasons. They have a good baseball team, a young team. The other teams covet our players. Yeah, they're certainly a top 5 front office. Now, you look at the other organizations. I mean, the Dodgers, what can you say? I mean, I get people get mad they spend a lot of money. You know, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Yankees, all that stuff. But if they're not violating the rules, there's no salary cap, what are you going to do? There's a huge media markets. They have a ton of money, and they've been successful. I mean, you know, the Mets are finally winning, and the Dodgers are taking a World Series. Yeah, I agree with it. I mean, I look around, and yeah.
I mean, I look at the list and I think it's fine. I mean, you can put these teams up there that are spending all this money, but I think developing and drafting and all the things that go on, you've got 5 or 6 teams in this league that can throw a ton of money at any problem they have. The Mets are one of them. The Yankees are one of them. I'd put the Red Sox in that group. The Cubs can do it. And if you go out west, you're going to be looking at Hell, the Padres have been doing it for whatever reason, but the Dodgers are clearly in that group. And then there's probably another team or two that we're not talking about that always get involved. I mean, Toronto's the team that's been driving the price up on everybody because they get involved and they're not signing anyone.
Well, they get involved in everybody that's out there. They put, you know, throw the hat in.
But I do think, you know, when you have, and again, saying this about the front offices, yeah, the Mets are doing nothing wrong. The Dodgers are doing nothing wrong because it's in the context of it, but it's still not a level playing field. And that's where you have to create a new way to try to be competitive. You're never going to be competitive with the Dodgers by trying to spend with them. You're just not.
It's like saying you have a home that has an unlimited budget, and you get to go on vacations and eat great meals and all those things. Meanwhile, you got this home that has a tight budget. Well, the home that's wealthy is a better home because the other one doesn't. Mm-hmm. That's what you're comparing right now.
Yeah.
The Mets and the Dodgers can afford to go out and sign everybody they want. How many of those guys in their rotation or in their lineup are homegrown? I mean, go around the diamond. The first baseman is not homegrown. Mookie Betts is not homegrown. Shohei Ohtani is not homegrown. You just keep going around the diamond, they're not. So if they're great front office, the best front office in baseball because they can spend more, well, okay, I'll take it.
Doesn't always work, though. I mean, the Padres have done that. I mean, this year they're the number one team in the power rankings this week. However, they've been doing this for a while, you know, just collecting. They were like card collectors. They were collecting these big names, but they couldn't seem to get it together. Maybe this is a year, but it doesn't always work. So, you know, you gotta give some credit for that because I don't want to see the Dodgers win the World Series every year.
Well, yeah, you're right. It doesn't always work. So with that being said, John Heyman has the Mets as number four. Why? They haven't worked. That hasn't worked.
Well, they went to the NLCS last year. I mean, it's not like they didn't win a World Series. I got it. But
they've been doing it for 4 years, and it worked one. So that's what I mean. You're looking at teams that can spend money, and we put them up there. I agree with the Braves. I agree with the Diamondbacks. I think the Diamondbacks, to be honest with you, they've done a phenomenal job. 410-583-1057. Baltimore, Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hey, real quick before I get into my thoughts on the Orioles. Rob, I just want to say that what you and Robbie did last night for the Autism Awareness Night, it's a great representative of the community. I have a cousin with autism who's a really good friend of mine, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
In terms of the Orioles, you know, it was good two wins back-to-back. It seems like a good on-brand of Orioles baseball that we've seen the past 2 years. But I was thinking about this last night that this is such a young team still with Adley and Gunner and Westbury and Kershaw that these guys haven't faced much adversity in the major leagues, not just in the major leagues, but in their playing careers. You know, Adley and Gunner and, you know, all of them are the best player on their high school team. They had success at the college level if they went to college. Now they go to the majors and they instantly succeed. And, you know, they had some issues in the playoffs, but that's such a small sample size for them to really grasp the idea of adversity. And now they actually get it and they start to bounce back. So,
hey Ryan, by the way, what's your cousin's name, the one with autism?
Jordan.
Okay, shout out to Jordan this morning, man. Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend. 410-583-1057. It's a good point. Someone else brought that up on social media, Ed, that the Orioles, they did it in a negative way, saying that a bunch of rich kids will never face adversity. But, you know, I guess as a whole, for a long time they haven't, but none of these guys came up from the minors to the majors like gangbusters. They all struggled a little bit when they came up.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I was just looking this up with the Dodgers while you guys were going back and forth. You know how many homegrown players they have on their roster? When they're 40, man, they say they have 15. They have two homegrown players that you would know about. And one you probably don't even know, Páez. The kid that came up last year, foreign rookie.
Yeah.
Will Smith is a homegrown player. Yeah. All their other homegrown players, they moved on. Whether it was the trade for Betts and, you know, they moved their outfielder. Why can't I think of his name now? Damn it, man. And then the kid that went to the Red Sox. And now he's not on the Red Sox. All the gold chains. And,
oh, yeah.
Why can't I think of his name? Damn it. Anyway, but when you look at the Dodgers roster, their entire roster from top to bottom are free agents that they bought. It's outside of Will Smith. And they'll probably tell you, hey, Kiki Hernandez is a homegrown talent, even though he's been around the league and now he's back with them. Like, their entire lineup, 1 through 9, unless Will Smith has the day off, is filled with guys that they've picked up through free agency.
410-583-1057.
Alex Verdugo. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Where's Verdugo now? Because he went to the Yankees for a minute too.
No, he was gone from the Yankees. Yeah, but who's the team that was kicking the tires?
I know he's gone from there, but who after that? Is what I'm saying.
No, he's
he says Braves.
Yeah, so the Braves are kicking the tires on him now because of the injuries they've had.
Right.
But he just recently got signed, though, right?
Yeah, let's go to Greg in Columbia. What's up, Greg?
Hey, happy Good Friday.
Happy Good Friday to you. I forgot it is Good Friday. It is.
Right? Thank you. Yes, sir.
I mean, it's all right.
I'd like to give my comment on the salary cap. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay. How I look at it is I'm against it for these reasons. I don't mind the Dodgers and the Mets spending tons of money. I just love seeing guys getting played. Baseball is not the easiest game to play. Also, I do not have too much sympathy for the teams that don't have a high payroll, because my philosophy is good baseball, winning baseball makes the money. If you don't have a big payroll, if you don't have a lot of money, you got tons of talent in the minors and the college ranks who are willing to play their tails off for not a lot of money. And then when
let me ask you a question. Greg, have you ever financed a car, a vehicle?
You make the money.
Have you ever financed Greg, have you ever financed a vehicle?
Yes, sir.
You have, okay. What if you went to the dealership? Let's say, let me just throw a number out there. What if you went to the dealership, that vehicle was $30,000? And the bank said, "Yeah, we'll help you out with it, but you got to have that $30,000 in the bank already. You can make payments, but you got to have that $30,000 in the bank now. That'd be a little tough for you to afford that car, am I right? If you had to come up with the $30,000 up front."
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So what you're saying right now is, yeah, I could pay a ball player $400 million over time. I don't have the $400 million to put in the bank right now. That's the difference between the Dodgers and the Guardians. The Dodgers had the $400 million to put in the bank now to pay him. The Guardians do not. That's why the Guardians can't get the $400 million player, because they can't come up with the money instantly.
Why do the superstar players in the league end up signing with the same five teams?
Exactly. Exactly. The Blue Jays can say, "I'm going to give Vlad Guerrero $325 million right now and finance the other 175. How many teams can do that? Please, people, just understand the finances of baseball before you say, "I don't feel sorry for that team." They can come up with the money. They just can't do it right now. That's the difference in baseball. Shovels at 7:15, but on the other side, who is the one player that you love in this year's NFL draft? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.